Well, we pick up again in our theme that we've been on for several weeks. This will be part five in building up the family. And I hope it's been a help. I really do feel like this is exactly what the Lord wanted me to give much of my energy and time and focus on for all of us, is our family grows and has needs. So it's not just theory. It's living it out for myself and my wife, our home. So far, we've looked at four aspects of building up the family. The first was building up your marriage, working on building up a wonderful marriage by the grace of God. The second was the man as a builder, how he builds his family. And the third session was on the woman as a builder for you sisters in the faith. And last week was on parents as builders, how father and mother nurture and train their children and speak to their children in the legacy of God and in the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ. So really, if you look at it, where we've come from, those were very specific roles that you had in your home. And for the man, for the woman, for you as a couple, and then in parenting, again, this is attempted to equip everybody here, those of you who are not married yet, that God would settle things in your heart and mind of principles, big truths that shape how you view marriage in a family. But those were very specific to the roles at an individual level. But in our next two sessions, this Sunday and next Sunday, I'd like to finish this whole series by teaching, or really more exhorting, this week and next week. Exhorting in a broader way, what you might call the atmosphere of your home. Not as much the role, but the atmosphere, the mood or the spirit of your home, because this will allow us a chance to consider or to think about the interconnected relationships between all of your family, husband, wife, parents, children to each other. And these are ways I hope to shore up or encourage. I had said last week that we may touch on these before I finish this series. The first 4 weeks dealt with pillar truths, commands of God, commands to husbands, commands to wives, commands to dads, commands to mothers. So those were pillar truths, but the next 2 weeks are going to deal with practical truths. So we move from pillar things to the practical, living it out. And it's hard to think of anything more practical than how you talk to each other, how we speak to each other. Right? Think about that. Communication. How we communicate in our homes. I mean, it's as common as air. We're always talking. Communication is one of the top reasons that marriages fail. It's always very high on the list. We're usually in the top two or three. Communication, or the breakdown, or the stress, or the non-existence of communication. So communication and how you talk is huge, beloved. So today, our focus or our topic is on words that build up. This is about words that build up. Words are a powerful thing, aren't they? Just the use of words and how God gives language and what words do in communicating, sharing, expressing. They're more than just information exchange. They are expressions of love, disappointment, hurt, joy, vision, on and on and on. Correction. Words are powerful and they are quite real in daily life together. How we talk and how we live together in our families. So our theme verse for today is out of Proverbs 18. I'm going to use a lot of scriptures today and we'll move through them quickly. But the theme verse that I think gets to the essence of what I'm talking about today is Proverbs 18:21, the very first part of it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That is a strong statement, isn't it? death and life. Now, it's a metaphor. It's not literally, though some people are so crushed by what people say to them that in the history of mankind, people have committed suicide. I understand that. But death and life are pictures of how much impact your words and my words have on each other. How your words as a husband affect your wife, how the wife's words affect her husband, and how we as parents affect our children. And on and on. This is true in every relationship, but I'm going to apply it today into the context of a home and a family. Death and life. Beloved, our words can either hurt or heal. Our words can either tear down or build up. That's how significant they are. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, or in the power of your speech. So our textbook for today is, in the middle of your Bible, the book of Proverbs. That is our tutorial today. That's our textbook. I'm not going to go anywhere else other than Proverbs today. I could, but I think the principles and the simplicity, the clarity of so many verses there in Proverbs will help us. I went through all 31 chapters again just to look at everything that dealt with speaking. And it is loaded, as you know, loaded. Easily 100+ references of how people talk to each other. And so language and words and instruction and in communication is throughout the whole book. It's packed with these principles. You probably have some scriptures that come to your mind on this. So from this scan and this overview, this topic has been on my mind and heart for weeks. But I began to really kind of focus in on it over the last week or so. And there are 5 ways today for us to think about how words impact our relationships. Now, obviously, these, as I said a while ago, these translate outside the home. They translate to our relationship as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I want us to see these 5 areas as it relates to building up your family. How words and how you can use words to build up your family. So we're going to move quickly. But I think these are one way of looking at numerous passages that come out on certain topics. First, instructing words. Or if you want to say it differently, words of instruction. Instruction is the first topic on how you use words. Now, this topic I felt like was important to start with because it connects us back to what we were dealing with last week on parenting. The role of parents is the role of instructing all the time. And you, as a parent, you impact your children's lives in what you say. Sometimes it's the little things you say. And sometimes you realize, oh, they're not getting it. Sometimes they do. It comes back. You realize they got it. They heard it. So you never want to take this lightly. Never take words lightly in instructing your children. Now let me hit some of these passages. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Words have importance. They're not trite. They're not insignificant. Words are important. Chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son," or my children, "be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Fathers and mothers, remember this, that as you speak to your children, you are aimed towards instructing them in a path that's right. That's what this verse, that's what the book of Proverbs in essence is about. Parents, a father teaching his children the right way. Walk in this way, don't go this way. So as parents, words of instruction are all the time, or should all the time be aimed at instructing them in the right path. And therefore, they should be attentive. Mom and dad shouldn't waste too many words. And I'm not talking about being able to laugh and share stories and have lighthearted times. But I'm talking about the basic flow of our parenting. There are words that are instructive and teach our sons and daughters the right way. To be attentive. So whether there's a 4-year-old or a 16-year-old, the words should have importance. You know, on any given moment, when you're in a different age brackets, as a parent, What you say to what I say to my 3-year-old grandson is different than what I would share with my 11-year-old son, or I would share with an older young man or girl. So you're always trying to give instruction. It's the blessing, it's the privilege as a parent to be doing that. We actually, by the grace of God, we have things to share with them that are good. So endeavor to use words that get their attention. Words, sentences, truths that get their attention. So they could be attentive to your words. The second passage on this topic, on instructing our children. Proverbs 5, verse 7. Words should have caution to them. Warning. He says, "And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth." The reason why our prisons are full are because men and women are sinners. They need the grace of God to take them from death to life. But a manifestation of their sin is they will not hear what's right. They won't listen to truth. And the scriptures say that sons and daughters, and in the context of a home, they're to listen. Don't depart. You young children, you boys, you girls, you younger, kind of moving into your adult, young adult years, value what your dad and mom say. Listen to their words. See, their words are for your protection. So you don't want to depart from them. If we're using words and sentences and teachings properly, then you children are being helped that you don't get hurt or ruin things in your life. And don't you, parents, don't you want your kids to really listen to your warnings? I do. Yes, we do. We want to give them words of caution. Our children, your sons and daughters, should understand that there are consequences connected to the words you're giving them. Right? There are consequences. And so, to tell your children, don't depart from this. Children, don't go that way. It's to keep them from the consequences of going away, that they will pay the price. Now, I'll say this. Sometimes our children don't understand the why of our warnings. Everybody understand that? But why? Why? Hey, Dad, why? Why are you warning me about that? Why are you telling me that? So sometimes, beloved, we don't take our children far enough in instructing them, and we need to. Why? Tell them. It's different to tell a 2.5-year-old versus a 12.5-year-old. I understand that, but they need to know the whys. Because the whys put reality to the dangers. Tell them. The writer of Proverbs did. Right? The words the writer of Proverbs used are full of warnings. Danger of bad companions. You want to tell your children the wrong kinds of friends, the wrong crowd, the wrong group can really mess their life up. You can tell your children about being lazy, being a sluggard, not being diligent. Those are in the scriptures. You can tell your sons about seductive women. It's all throughout scripture in the book of Proverbs about those who would ruin their life. So tell them, use words of caution and warning. And lastly, words, this thing of instruction, words have value. They have real value to them. Look at Proverbs 7 verse 1. "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments with you." I like the way that reads. "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you." Dad, Mom, you want your words to be something your children treasure, right? Now, there are phrases, there are statements, there are things my dad taught me growing up now that I really treasure. But you know, there were times as growing up, I didn't treasure them as much as I should have. My brother didn't treasure them as much as he should have. And now, those things have a meaning that are more full and more powerful. We want to give our children words that have treasure to them, value to them. What Dad says, what Mom says has value. Don't you want your kids to think what you have to say has wisdom and value to it? I do. We need to, because words of instruction are all throughout Proverbs, and they're the duty of dad and mom to be about instruction. I would want your children to say, my dad said this. My mom taught me this. I really would want the reality of this taking root in your children's lives. Because this connects us back to last week, we're responsible to train our children's worldview, the principle of right and wrong. So words with value. That's the first area. Words should have instruction to them. They should have instruction. Second, wise words. Use words of wisdom. Wisdom. Not worldly wisdom, but wisdom that comes from the Scriptures, comes from the truths of God. Words of wisdom help everybody in the family. Right? Think about this. I'm talking about just all of talking. A husband and wife. Words of wisdom exchanged between a husband and wife. Words of wisdom exchanged between parents and their children. Words of wisdom to older children and how they can help their younger siblings. Words of wisdom are healthy for anybody. You sit under somebody who has words of wisdom, you're going to benefit. And that's the joy or the blessing of being under truths, wisdom from God's Word, from God's people. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. You might have a different translation than that. I didn't search out numerous. Proverbs 10, verse 20. Anybody else have? By the way, I'm using all these passages today in the ESV. I pulled them out of the ESV to use. I know many of you use the ESV. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Look how valuable wise words are. They're like choice silver. I mean, it's significant. Silver is the highest per ounce it's ever been in my 51 years. But it doesn't meet the wisdom that God has, His Word. But wisdom that shapes somebody's lives, wisdom in your family is like a precious metal. Very valuable. And it's able to help others in a great way. Words of wisdom help 5-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 20-year-olds. We need the grace of God to know how to distribute those words of wisdom. We need to have them. We need to know how to, like a doctor, prescribing them, giving them out. We need to know how to do that better. Sometimes a man can help his wife in this area. That he can share something that helps her, protects her, gives her an understanding of something. And oftentimes a wife can share with her husband insight or something that helps him. And he gains wisdom from it. Have you all seen that? Isn't that something how God does that? That from a woman's perspective and a man's perspective, God gives you wisdom and you can help the other one. And you sharpen one another. You help one another. Obviously we do it as brothers and sisters in the faith, but what more glorious place to do it than in day-to-day living with our spouse and then our children? That we would have choice silver in the way our words. Proverbs 10, same chapter, verse 31, and then part of verse 32. I'm just going to take excerpts from each of these. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Skip down to 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. You see, beloved, words of wisdom. The righteous bring forth words of wisdom. They also know what is acceptable. A Christian. This is so basic to the growth in the things of God. It grows growth in Jesus Christ and His Word. The Christian has things of wisdom to offer others. In the home, with children, with others, with other family members, with people you're around. This applies to all of life. Speaking words of wisdom. I struck up a conversation years ago with a young man that used to work at a Texaco station because I made a comment about what the Scriptures say on buying lotto cards. And he said, "What'd you say?" "Wealth gotten by haste shall be diminished." Now that's King James language. I had to help him. You think you're going to get rich quick? Be careful. God says it'll go away. It'll take wings, won't it? Remember some of those other paths? We can speak within our families and to others about wise truths, truths that God has said, things that are great for life, for protecting you. Also, it says that a Christian, they bring forth wisdom. They also know what is acceptable. Now, that's an interesting phrase. They know what's acceptable. They know what is proper. What's the right way to see something? They know what is righteous versus unrighteous. We're in a day, and our kids are growing up in a day, where any sense of right and wrong and where the boundaries are is gone. It's almost completely gone. Perversions are flaunted. Things that are holy and good are shoved aside or made a mockery of. So, the righteous, they bring forth wisdom. Fathers, bring forth wisdom. Shower your wife and children with wisdom. And know what is acceptable. What's the right decision to make? And for you sisters in the faith, flip over to Proverbs 31. We may have touched on this briefly last week. But look at what it says about the godly woman. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. What a picture there. A picture for the role of a woman in the context of her home. Look at the power of your words, dear sisters in the faith. You have the ability to shower wisdom. Now, many of you are thinking, Philip, I'm trying to survive the day. I'm trying to get through the night. I'm trying to get through the week. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overloaded. I know that. Been there, done it, still there, kind of. I understand that. But in the journey of parenting, in the journey of your marriage, as a godly woman, you want the grace of God to help you. Open your mouth with wisdom. Let your children know the whys. Teach them things that they can learn from. Give them the cautions. Give them the illustrations. Teach them stories. And let kindness. Boy, don't we all want more of that on our tongue? Nobody at this point get discouraged or defeated. Stay with me. This is about building up. I know you blow it with your words. I have too. This is about going forward. Words that build up. Kindness. Wisdom. The positive impact that a woman makes with wise words and kind words. Wonderful. So second, words should be full of wisdom. First, instruction. Very much connected to parenting. Second, wisdom. What you have to offer ought to have some value to it. Most talk shows, chat lines, newspaper columns, etc. don't have anything to offer. You have things to offer because you have the grace of God in you. You have the Holy Spirit. Wonderful words of life. Jesus spoke words. God's given us His Word. The New Testament epistles were words written on paper to build up the saints. I commend you to God. And what? Word of His grace. Meaning, His message, His truth. So we should have wisdom. Third, encouraging words. Words of encouragement. Now we start getting into something here, don't we? Words of encouragement. You will begin to realize on these next three how much life truly is in the power of the tongue. Life. Building up, helping others. Words of encouragement. Literally, every day in our families, literally, we have opportunity to speak words to those who need encouragement. It doesn't matter if it's a 2-year-old or if it's an 18-year-old or even any other age. Every day, all the time, we have opportunities and we need to redeem them to speak words of encouragement. Husband to wife, wife to husband. Man to child, sons, daughters, children to each other. If there was more of this, there would be so much healing. Judge Judy could shut down that stupid program that she has, if that's the right person. People use words to just tear each other up. And God says, use words to encourage. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust. Man, there's some people you're around, it's like, ugh. Just the way they talk is painful. But listen, look at the second part. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Health, I think is what it says in the King James. Some people use words rashly and it hurts people. But the tongue of the wise, let me say this, the tongue of the Christian, the words of a Christian should bring healing. Oh, beloved, if you're careful about the words that you speak, you will improve somebody's situation. That's why we're with each other. One of the reasons why, we can help one another. We can build each other up in things that are helpful. We want to improve each other's condition. You're going to have hard days. And it takes tremendous love and discernment of how to speak a word to a child that's hurting. It does. To a spouse that is hurting, needs encouragement. You want to use words to heal people. What a blessing to be around somebody that does this, right? To somebody who knows how to use words that are a balm, that heal, that help, that build up. You just want to be around them. There's some preachers, I'll be honest, through the years growing, there's some preachers that only preach as though they're scolding everybody. You feel worked over. I remember Paul Washer saying, I want to preach to help people. I don't want people to think I'm angry. I don't either. You want to use words to help people. You want to use sentences. You want to use thoughts. You want to use the motive for the words to help people. And sometimes you just have to pause. What is it they need right now? The tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15, verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. See this contrast? Gentle words bring forth growth. Or it says a gentle tongue. What he's talking about is, it's like a tree of life. It's flourishing. Gentle tongue, gentle words. Brothers, it's not unmasculine to use gentle words. There's ways we can show our masculinity. Maybe the greatest is that you can rule your own spirit. That's what the Scriptures say. You're mightier if you can rule your spirit than a man that can take cities. That's what the Scriptures say. We have to be careful. I have to be careful. There's sometimes in vocational work through the years that I want to jump in on something. And sometimes the Lord says, it's not yours to jump in on. Be careful. But gentle words can help people grow and help people do well. A son, a daughter, your own spouse. Hard words break people. They break people's spirit. That's what it says here. Perverseness, or words that are not profitable, break people's spirit. And, oh, this is so true. When we use words that hurt somebody, wounds their spirit, you cannot very easily repair that, can you? Man, that hurts. You just think, why did I say that? Because once it's said, the wound has been inflicted. And when the wound's been inflicted, it is hard to patch it up. And you can't just say, I'm sorry. That doesn't patch it up. There's something bigger there. By the grace of God, learn to have a gentle tongue, or endeavor to know what that means, living it out, that you can build up. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. We're talking about kind words, gracious words, gentle words, right? These are about encouraging others. We got enough people yelling at people, griping at people, making fun of people. We're talking about gracious words. This is very poetic language, isn't it? This poetic language is about words that are full of grace. They're beautiful here. These phrases. There's three phrases here. It's like a honeycomb. Yummy. It's like sweetness to the soul. That sounds good. It's health to the body. You mean words have that much power to them? Yeah, they have that much power to them. Beloved, if we stay with this, if we walk away today, starting with me, and we let this sink in, it's going to change us. God's going to teach us things. We're going to learn things. We're going to think about words differently. We're going to be helped to think about communication differently. We're going to send messages that are written messages differently. We're going to use language more fully in how God intended. It's like a honeycomb. It's like sweetness to the soul. That's gracious words. I want you to get hold of it. It will help you. Your words, dear saints, has power. They have power to comfort and to encourage wives, husbands, sons, daughters, struggles, defeats, disappointments, confusions, you have the grace of God helping you to help them. So third, words of encouragement. Words of instruction, words of wisdom, words of encouragement. Fourth, limited words. Everybody know what I mean by that, right? Use your words sparingly. We're talking about the beauty, the wonder, the goodness of words. Well, they can get out of hand, can't they? This may be one of our greatest problems. Saying too much. Getting involved in things that could create more stress. We're in the previous one, if we're to be using words of encouragement, this would be the opposite way. Letting words go too far and then they create problems. Words are like a wildfire. They take off and they devour everything in their path, don't they? And you think later, oh, I just said too much, didn't mean to say all that. But it's so important to think about this topic, that using your words sparingly or being careful, don't let too many out. Hang on to them, because otherwise they can devour. Listen to these warnings or listen to these passages. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But wherever or whoever restrains his lips is prudent. That's Proverbs 10:19. What is the King James? In the multitude of words are wanteth not sin. Is that what it says, Michael? Too many words. You push words too long. This is with your spouse. This is with your children. This is with a friend. This is somebody you're debating a topic on. You let words keep going, you're going to get things in trouble. You're going to create a problem. We have to be careful. When words are many, sin starts showing up. It's a part of it. So the warning is clear. Be careful to contain. Hang on to words. Be careful with them. Because they can cause such damage. The contrast is just to restrain yourself is a prevention of more problems. It's a sign of prudence, caution, carefulness. In a sense, you're not throwing more wood on the fire. Now, husbands, I could go further in this, and wives, but we don't need to put any wood on the fire. I like to talk to my wife, but I don't like to debate or argue with her. It's never and never has been, never will be something I enjoy. Because I think the fundamental truth of the relationship is to be full of love and friendship and building each other up. So we need to learn, if he or she is having a rough day, we have to be careful how we engage in conversation, do we not? We do. Because sometimes we men, we've been away and we come in and we want to tell our wives everything about their day, what they didn't do properly. And you know, I'll just say, that doesn't usually work very well. Just trust me. But if we understand what he or she, each other, what the day has included, we can perhaps have a word to encourage or maybe use very sparingly statements so we don't add more discouragement. So restraining what you say. Proverbs 13:3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 13:3. Guarding versus opening. I really appreciate how the writer contrasts things. Throughout the book of Proverbs. This versus this. This versus this. You guard, you preserve life. You open wide, you ruin things. Now that right there says a lot to us, doesn't it? We need to take heed to the contrast. We need to be always on the side where this is what builds up. If I could say this, we're almost in a society that gets carried away with just chatter, talk, too much stuff. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody stirs things up. But we don't want to apply the danger of that and let that happen in our home. Guarding your words truly is a means of preservation. Guarding what you say, in a sense, is preserving the atmosphere or the spirit of the home. Literally, you will avert arguments and striving simply by not jumping into this conversation with too many words. Be quicker to hear and slower to speak. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Here it is again. We're talking about limited words. Being careful. If you know how harmful words can be, this would be the negative side. If you know whoever restrains his words, see what it says? You have knowledge. If you know how harmful saying something can be, then don't say it. Be careful. We oftentimes want to say more, perhaps on the situation, and if we force it, we could create more trouble. So be careful. If you understand the danger of words, then be careful. Hold them. It says, the Scripture says, it shows that you have knowledge. We ought to possess ourselves. We ought to possess our language. We ought to possess our words. It was people who have knowledge, who understand how significant these things are. And how about this phrase in the ESV? He who has a cool spirit. King James translates that excellent spirit. Meaning a man or woman who has control of themselves. He who has an excellent spirit or a cool spirit is a person or a man of understanding. It means you know how to possess yourself. You're not contentious or argumentative. Being around people who are contentious and argumentative is just exhausting, isn't it? Just draining. It just doesn't build up. It doesn't. But if you're a person who has knowledge, if you're a man or a woman of understanding, you possess yourself and you possess the words you use in wisdom. God helps you. And it helps create in a home a spirit of love and friendship and help and encouragement. Sometimes, as a family, we almost have to just call time out on all of us. All right. This is tough. Everybody's getting stressed. Everybody's getting upset. Time out. Slow down. One of the men I work with, I went through college with, and he laughingly told me a story when he was getting real worked up when we were working on our thesis a long time ago. And he was complaining and whining, and he said, "Philip," he calls me Pops. That's where I got my grandpa name back when I was in my 20s. But he says, "Pops, you just looked at me and said, now, Tom, take it easy. We're going to be all right. We're going to make it." Well, it cracked us both up because, in a sense, that's all he really needed to know then. Sometimes, dads, moms, sometimes we just need to say, slow this down. Have your children ever argued or fought? Ours have a few times. I think most of y'all have avoided that, right? Huh. From sun up to sundown and into the evening on daylight savings time having gone away, striving and arguing and stress. And there's a grace for us, dad, mom. There's a grace for us to try to know how to be a referee, how to help. These are huge things. I know it. This is a hard topic. It really is a hard topic. But it's big. It's throughout the Scriptures. You know, we get to the New Testament and Paul talks about speech, our words, using words. Let no unwholesome communication, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I mean, there's all kinds of passages in other books. So right now we're talking about the caution of not using too many words. Be careful. Fourthly, limit your words where it's appropriate. And fifth and last, peaceful words. Peaceful. Words that actually stop arguing or can bring peace. It's glorious. It is a wonderful thing when you, dear brother or sister, can learn how to handle your words in such a way as to calm things down. It's a wonderful thing. It might be more rare than we want it to be, but it is a wonderful thing. Because that's just grace. Because things can get out of control. There are times in the body of Christ that two brethren are striving. And it's the grace of God that you know how to go in and help that. Create reconciliation. Create healing. So this principle is very broad. But in our own families, in our homes, peaceful words that Christ Jesus Himself with us, in us, upon us, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, that Him in us teaches us to be peacemakers. I know men can be troublemakers. And I know women can be contentious. Meaning, I know that. We just know that from society at large. What we're talking about is the grace of God who makes us new creations, who makes us walk differently. Live it out. We're peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Words are part of peacemaking. You gotta express something. We need more of this, don't we? Knowing how to find the place of peace. And I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about accepting things that are wrong. That's a different topic. I'm just talking about when words begin to strive and people are getting hurt and how you can help bring peace to that situation. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. Here it is again. This is the writer contrasting soft words, hard words, or harsh words. Look at the contrast. One subdues the fire, the other builds the fire and makes it worse. It does take real love for us, doesn't it, to know how to do this? You have to really love others, really love them. I am in my home. We're talking about our homes, beloved. We're talking about us as husbands and wives and with our children. You have to have tremendous love for each other to use words, soft words, words that will help and words that will resolve or slow things down and bring help. Because otherwise, jumping into something with more harsh words stirs it up more. I want your children here today, from little ones growing, I want you to hear Brother Philip today. God tells you to be careful how you speak to each other. All of you children, from this day forward, I will be to the point where I say, I told the children, be careful how you talk to each other and how you talk to your dad and how you talk to your mom. Because God sees it. And it's important. And you can say things to hurt your brother or sister, or you can hurt one another, or you can say things to your parents that stir up trouble. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to be people who work towards peace and love and what's wholesome. Don't use harsh words. Sometimes it's as simple as, where do you start in on the conversation? Meaning, what's your entry point? And what's the spirit behind what you're trying to say? Because you can come into a conversation and you can immediately kind of change the spirit of it, can't you? You can. I see that in secular things, work-related, outside type things, that how you enter the conversation could affect where it's going to go. Last verse, Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Now that's pretty blunt, isn't it? Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth, meaning keeps his words, and his tongue, keeps himself out of trouble. If you learn the wisdom of bridling your words, you got a lot of trouble you're going to stay out of. Think about that. If you just learn that, I want to say to you single guys that I love and I see you're growing. What's ahead? What's God have? Marriage and life and all. Learn these principles now. You guys, you young women, you do not want to go into marriage on the other side. You want to know how to keep your words and you want to know how grace really changes the way you talk with others. Because there's going to come a day, if you do marry, that all the newness and all the niceties that you say to her are going to be gone. Meaning, there's not going to be newness to it. Now it's really going to be what's in your heart. That's what happens. If you had a transcript of Chris and I talking for a week, I want it to be where it's good and it's profitable and it's full of love and friendship. Or Jeff and Tommy, or Mac and Linda, or Ron and Karen. That's what we want, beloved. I'm not sharing these things because they're nice theories. I'm sharing these things from the heart because we need to gain more ground here. Life has struggles and hurts, and we have things that people get disappointed and kids get cranky and things get difficult in our homes. And we've got to harness words that they can help heal and restore and build up and keep us from trouble. Keep our kids. Our kids need to learn to not run their mouth off and go get in trouble. I went to school with guys who didn't know how to control their mouth, and it wrecked their lives. So it's practical. It's real. Learn the wisdom of keeping your speech. It'll keep you out of trouble. This is powerful. Think of how tangible this is in your marriage. And think of how tangible it is in dealing with your children. Children need us as parents to know how to talk to them and know how to help them talk to each other. Guide how they talk to each other. I have an older brother and I have a younger sister. And we had a good relationship growing up. But it's better even now, in a sense, because there's more maturity and there's more love and appreciation for what we have as siblings. But you don't want to waste the years of growing up, striving, and you don't want your kids to disrespect each other, right? You need to set boundaries. You need to set parameters on how we talk to each other in our home. Men, I'm just going to say that it starts with us. Somebody who's a visitor in your home shouldn't come into a home that's full of sassy, arguing, back talk, complaining, whining, on and on and on. It just shouldn't. They shouldn't. That's not the house of the righteous. The house of the righteous, we've been blitzed by all these scriptures, is about building up each other with words. Letting conversation be helpful and edifying and fruitful. So let me close. Death and life are truly in the power of words, are they not? Life and death hang, if you will. They hinge on how we use words. So I want us to contemplate these five areas from God's Word. Use words that are instructive, helping, that build up, that teach, that warn. Use words that are wise, that have bigger truth to them, have bigger things for your children and for your family to live by. Wise words. Words that give real insight on something to see what's proper. Use words that encourage one another. That know how to bolster one another. Recover somebody in the family that's really discouraged. Use words that can encourage them. Use words sparingly at times. Be careful. Don't get too many words going. Use words that will help one another. And use a smaller amount of words that won't fuel a fire. And lastly, use peaceful words or words that facilitate peace in the home. That's how we're to live. That's how we're to walk. It's so fundamental. I will guarantee you, if we do this, if we apply this means of grace on how we talk to each other, it will help us build up our family. I guarantee it. God intends it that way. So let's press on in this. Let's look to the Lord to help us in how we speak, how words can build up. God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it is a phenomenal thing, an awesome thing to consider the power of words, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, in the power of how we speak. It's meaningful. And to be careless with words is to be careless with relationships. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to see these passages, to see these warnings and these admonitions, to see them with fresh help and strengthening. I pray that each of the men and the women here will be helped on, will see some things, will be able to apply it in their day-to-day living. Pray that You'd help the children. You help the homes here to really endeavor to live with more of a spirit of peace and kindness and words that encourage and build up, words of wisdom, words of instruction. Lord, words that help. Help us, Lord, to take heed to these things, to walk in them, to walk in the Spirit. Lord, we need You. We need You in our lives, in our marriage. We need You in everything about our homes, that You would gloriously reign. Bless the saints, Lord. Help them today. Help us all. We worship You through Your Son. Amen.